Okay, so it's officially starting the second parak, but it's really a first parak sugya. It's really a daf bezim et aleph sugya, but counts also for the second parak. The machlokas in the Mishnah on the chafam et beis, a yoshin tach samita besukah lo yatzei dechovaso, amr Rabbi Yehuda, no again hayinu sheinu yishenim tach samita befnei azkenim, velo amru lanu davar. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you are allowed to sleep under a bed in the sukkah, whereas the Tanakhama and the Shita Sachachamim is that if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah, you're not yotze. So I had somebody in my shir say, who would ever sleep under a bed? So, I mean, the real answer is, it doesn't matter. It just matters what we learn from it. But what's the real answer? What? What?
Someone sleeping, you know, for safe space. Someone sleeping, you know, on top, and wherever there's not enough room.
It's meisim b'chol yom. People sleep under beds.
Bunk beds,
right? It's the same vart. It would still constitute the same ohel aroi. Saying a bunk bed is a valid yoshin taksamita. You have an ohel aroi on top of you, and you know, I don't know. It just seems fairly clear that way. Although one could argue that might be more than all aroi, no? Because we have the sugya earlier on. The Gemara talks about the case of the naklitin. Thank you very much. Talks about the case of the naklitin, and they say that the naklitin that are kavua, so that constitutes a hefsik ohel, even though it doesn't have a roof. We'll get to that Gemara in a few minutes, but I'm saying the could be that the bunk bed is more kavua than just yoshin tachsamita of a regular bed, but I don't have any actual reason to say that. But there is the concept that the naklitin that we talked about that are seemingly more keva constitute an ohel easier. I don't know if that would bring it all the way up to an ohel kavua, but it might. I don't know. I don't know enough about it to say. But anyway, so the reason that it's considered a problem is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Chachamim, is that it's a hefsik, right? Rashi says, the oil mafsik beno l'sukkah, the ikar yeshivas ha-sukkah, achila shtia v'shena. So, why is Rashi bringing in that second half? Rashi makes a little bit of trouble for us with that second half. Maybe Monday, speak about that. That line in Rashi, specifically, shtia. Shtia is a little bit problematic, right? The Iker Yeshiva Sasukah is Achila Shtia Vishena. Right? So, why does Rashi bring that in at all over here? Well, because he for the Shena. Meaning he's saying that the Iker Dira in the Sukkah involves sleeping. So, you can't be Yoshin Taksamita because seemingly if you do this in a way where you're not Yotze being in the Sukkah, so that's problematic. So Rashi seems to be saying something interesting, as we'll get back to this hopefully in a few days. The three things that need to be done in the sukkah and seemingly can't be done outside the sukkah are achila, shtiya, v'shena. Because why else is he bringing that line in? It's extra. Saying you could just say it's a hefsik between you and the schach. Okay, shkayach. We get it. That's why you're not yotze if you sleep inside the sukkah. Right? But then he says the Iker Yeshiva Sasukah Achila Shtiya V'Shena. Why is he adding that in? If not to tell us that these are things that if you do them outside the sukkah are problematic. Last time I checked, it's not problematic to drink outside the sukkah. Yeah. Right, but the problem is then it's out of context, meaning who cares about that in this Mishnah? Unless you could argue that we're starting the parak of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. So he wants to just give you a brief introduction. What about Shtia? What's Shtia doing there?
This is like a general topic, but just what's the point of why he's bringing it over here is to teach Shtia.
Right. Yeah, but I'm saying if he's bringing in that chiddush, then why is he talking about it here, where it says ayoshin tachsamita? I'm saying the sukkah is roi. You're just under the bed. You're messing it up, not the sukkah. And the Maisa, we'll get back to it, but it seems at least the reason over here why he quotes these three things, he's telling you these are three things that need to be done in the sukkah, and if you do them outside the sukkah, or you do them in a way you're not yotze being in the sukkah, that's a big problem. Yeah. Does Rashi hold that the ohel of the bed is an ohel keva? Definitely not. And my raya that that's definitely not so is Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. What Shitas Rebbe Yehuda? That you are yotze. I think even Rebbe Yehuda would agree that if you built a little brick house inside your sukkah, you would definitely not be yotze being inside the sukkah, right? So what's the reason Rebbe Yehuda holds you are yotze? That goes back to the first mission in the first parak. So the first mission in the first parak and the first mission in the second parak are linked. What's the link? No, take a guess. What's Pshat and Rebbe Yehuda in the first mission? Right, so what's the Pshat and Rebbe Yehuda? Not only does he not care about it, he wants Diris Keva. Rabbi Huda Shita is that Diris Keva is kosher. Right? So that's Rabbi Huda over here saying, Ayoshin Tachsamita Besukkah, right? He's Yotze. Why is he Yotze? Because Lo Asi Diris Ohel Keva, excuse me, Lo Asi Ohel Aroi Mavatal Ohel Keva. You can't, it's not a problem to have an Ohel Aroi be masik between you and the Schach, even though by definition the Schach is a roy.
And the common hold that it is that the sukkah itself is an olal arayi.
Correct. That's the idea that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that sukkah is diris keva, the chacham hold that sukkah is diris arroy. So since the chacham hold that it's diris arroy, if you have an olal arroy being mafsik between you and the schach, then it's very problematic. And this goes back to all of the cases that we had in the first parak in terms of if the noye sukkah are mechulakin from the schach too far, then it's going to constitute a hefsik ohel. And similarly, we had the cases where we had the Gemara on Daf Yud, where they listed off the different types of bed coverings, and the different types of bed coverings that can be masik between you and the sukkah. And I'm sorry, that's not Daf Yud. Daf Yud is the sugi of sukkah takasa sukkah, where we talk about if the top one is only the Gemara's maskana over there is if the top one is Yachol Kabel Kor Miksosos Al Yedei Hadchak. Anybody remember that sugya? That they basically said that if the whole Yisod was if the top sukkah is good, the bottom sukkah is bad. And if the top sukkah is bad, the bottom sukkah is good. So then we said, what's a nafkamina? If it's able to be Makabel Al Yedei Hadchak, that once you moved all your stuff in there, then it's a little bit shaky. But you're not gonna collapse. So what's the pshat? That Rashi over there points out on Daf Yud, that if it's Yachol Kabel Adchak, so Rabbi Yehuda would passel that sukkah. Why would Rabbi Yehuda passel it? Well, you know why, I'm saying. It has to be a Diris Keva, right? So if it's kind of wobbly and it's not going to feel very sturdy, so then that's called a Diris Arai. And Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be machshir something which is only called a Diris Arai. Whereas the Chachamim, they hold that it's supposed to be a Diris Arai, and therefore if you have a wobbly sukkah, you're going to be okay. That's another nafkamina between the Shitas Chacham and Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, right? And then we also had, as I mentioned before, that if you have the sukkah, right, there's a list of all of the Manda Omrim who hold that sukkah is supposed to be a Diris Keva on Zion Amid Beis. So what did we have? We said Rabbi Yoshia says that you could even have shade Machmas Adifonos. Right, that's how the whole discussion gets started. Right, if you look on Daf Zayin and Beis, the two dots about a quarter of the way down, it says Tana Rabbanan Chamasa Meruba Chamasa Machmas Sikuch Velo Machmas Tefonus. Let's say, you know, are you allowed to get the shade from the walls in addition to the schach or no? So the Tanakhama says no, it has to come dafka from the schach, and Rabbi Yoshia says that it could even come from the tefonus. Then he says, my time to Rabbi Yoshia Tichsiv. Right, the sachos ala aron es aparochas parochas mechitza v'kokai yirachman aschacha alma mechitza kischach beinan. Fine, rabbanan. Right, and then the rabbanan say, not so. We'll skip that for a second. And then we said, Amar Abai, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi v'Rabbi Yoshia, v'Rabbi Huda, v'Rabbi Shimon, v'Rabbi Gamliel, b'Shamay, v'Rabbi Lezer, v'Acherim, kulu svirlu sukkah diris keva beinan. So you have an impressive list of tanoim who all hold that a sukkah is supposed to be a dearest kevin. They go through the list. Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe, Yonko Shulki and Shembo Alad Amos Alad Arba Amos, Psula. So the Rebbe, what's the reason for him? How do we know it? Because the minimum shear for the sukkah is Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos, not Zayin Tvachim by Zayin Tvachim. Then we said Rabbi Yoshia Hoda Amran. Rabbi Yoshia, we already mentioned, who says that you get the shade even from the Defunos, not just from the Schach. So how does that mean, Dearest Keva? Anybody know? How does that mean, Dearest Keva? No. He's saying that the shade could even come from the Defunos, right? What does that have to do with Keva?
Didn't we say that? I mean, once the only way you can get sail from the Tefanos isn't it only if the walls are above 20 amos? Didn't we have that earlier?
Right, so you could say that because he holds it needs to be tall enough that the walls are coming. Exactly. Very good. I'm saying Rashi didn't spell that out, but Mestama, that's what he means, no? I think. That's what you were saying also? Okay, sorry, I didn't understand. All right, So that's the second shita. So we have two shitas so far. Then we have the third shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda, which we know Sukkah Sheigvom La Michaf Ama Psula Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. That's number three. Number four, Rabbi Shimon D'Tanya Shnayim Kilchazim Shlisa Filu Tefach. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shlosh Kilchazim Arba Filu Tefach. So he really bets and requires four walls because he holds it has to be a Diris Keva. But Halacha Moshe Mesinai comes and is Goreya the fourth wall into a Tefach. Then we have the next cheat of Rabban Gamliel, the Tanya Osa Sukasa Barosha Golo Barosha Svina, Rabban Gamliel posa Rabbi Kiva Machshir. So he says you can't have a mobile sukkah, it has to be more kavua than that. Then you have Beishamai Dinamisha Yorosha Rub Sukkah Vishokanam Tokha Bayas, Beishamai Posan Bisil Machshirin. It's a question, well, why do they quote that sheet of Beishamai when they could have quoted the sheet of Beishamai that holds before like Rebbe? That it should be Dalat Amos al Dalat Amos, no? So, but really, Beis Shammai doesn't hold that. What does Beis Shammai hold? You remember that? They hold Zion al Zion. It's actually Rosh HaVeruba v'Shulchano versus Rosh HaVeruba. That was a whole discussion earlier. Is it a machlokes by Sukkah Ketana or Sukkah Gedola? So, Lamai said they went with this, and it seems, if you read Rashi, it's a little iffy how to understand that line in the Gemara. All right, we'll leave it at that, but it's questionable. Why are they Dafka bringing in this? Why did Dafka bring in this sheet of Beis Shammai? Okay, Lamaisa, if you read Rashi, he says basic. What, you see that Rashi over there? It says Beis Shammai poslin de roi letashmish ba'inon. But that's not Mishahaya Rosh Rub Basukkah Shukhanam Tokha Bayas. That's not a din in the sukkah. It could even be by Sukkah Gedola. You hear the. I don't have a good answer to say right now, but it's something that's worth noting. Why does Rashi Dafka bring in the fact that Mishael Rosh of Rubo tells you that's Royal Atashmish? Did you write down something that answers it?
No.
Oh, something else? Okay. So, next, Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya, Osa Sukoso Kimin Srif, Shesamcha Lekosel, Rabbi Eliezer Posel, Fishein Logag, Vachacham Machshir. Fine, he says you can't have a sukkah without a roof. It can't be a slanted roof. Even if the slanted roof is made completely out of schach. And then Acherim, the Tanya Acherim Omer, Sukkah, so you can kishovach psula lefishein lazavios. So the Acherim Shita is apparently nobody builds such a strange sukkah without any corners. It's not going to be called a Diris Keva without any corners. And therefore, it's going to be possible. Okay, then that's what got us all into the sugya of the circle sukkah. Right, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Acherim, he holds that a sukkah is dir saroy, and therefore it can be made even as a circle. Okay, but Lamaisa, what do we see? We counted eight different shitos, which basically say that sukkah can be a diras keva, needs to be a diras keva. Furthermore, there's one more happens to be without getting involved in the sugya of the kila and the naklita and everything like that. There's another gemara in Meseches Yuma on Daf Yud Amid Beis where Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to put a mezuzah on the sukkah, and they say Rabbi Yehuda is l'shitaso because he says sukkah diras keva ba'inon and not diras aroy. So therefore, so that's Rabbi. He says it in Sukkah?
I think so.
My mistake.
No,
the Sukkah Gemara is about which one of the two needs a mezuzah. That's Sukkah Sayyots from Zulif Nemizu, right?
I don't know. Or they bring Nafkamina, whether it's not called bias. So less than 4 animals, not called bias.
Right.
The Nafkamina is that, from all these Nafkamina, that is not bias.
Right, but there's also that other Gemara. Right, but that's not by Sukkah. No, but they talk about Sukkah Sayyots from Zulif Nemizu. Right, which one requires a mezuzah, which one is not requires a mezuzah. Right, that's a different story altogether, but that's not assuming Diras Aroi versus Diras Keva over there. Right? That's a different story. Here we're saying in the Gemara and Yuma is saying straight out, Rabbi Yehuda's Lishitaso requires a mezuzah on the sukkah because he holds sukkah is Diras Keva. And if you hold it's Diras Keva, it requires a sukkah, mezuzah. Okay. In terms of all these ideas, there's a very questionable statement by the Rosh in the beginning of the Masechta. The Rosh, when he's paskening the opening Machlokes Amoraim between Rabba, Rav, and Reb Zera, so the Rosh there basically speaks out that he paskens in favor of Rava, but he has an interesting Lushen. If you get a chance, take a look at the Rosh. It's in the Siman Aleph. I don't know, I have the Talmud edition, so I'm not sure where it is, but it's probably, I would count about 20 lines in. It's right after a quote from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis, and it's right before Beis in the Korban Asano. You see that? It says, Va'anan mistabra lon dehilchsa kirova, dekaimelon sukkadiris arroy be'inan, Rabbi Yehuda de machshir svirulet sukkadiris keva be'inan. Right? So he says we paskin like Rava because the whole thing is totally in the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether sukkah is diras aroi or diras keva. So what does it mean when Rabbi Yehuda says sukkah diras keva be'inon? Pirish demachshir af bediras keva. He's machshir even a diras keva. V'leis hilchus l'kavosi. But the halacha is not like him. We have a defanus megil s'schach. Kol shekein dehavele diras keva, and he's just throwing in that we don't paskin like Rabba because if you recall the Gemara said if you would paskin like Rabba then if the defunus would be magiyas l'schach it wouldn't be a problem. He's saying but once you paskin like Rava the defunus magiyas l'schach on a 20 amma plus sukkah is even worse because it's more keva. So that's how the Rosh concludes halacha l'maisa. The problem is that word af, that Rabbi Yehuda's machshir even a diras keva. So if you take a look in the korban asano there, os beis, he doesn't understand what the Rosh is talking about. He says v'tema the whole lekaman v'pirkin amar abaye rebbe v'rebbe huda amru davar echa debuinan sukkah diras keva. He says the lashon debuinan sukkah diras keva. You need it to be a diras keva, not that it's all so good, but of course diras aroi is good. Just even a diras keva is good. Right, we mentioned that briefly, where Rabbi Yehuda passels the sukkah gabi sukkah. Right, ulakam on perak ayoshin. Dam Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei dam sukkah diras keva beinon. Right, and also another nafkamina, what we saw at the beginning of the second parak. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could sleep underneath the bed, and according to the Chachamim, you cannot, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the oel aroi is not going to be mevatel the oel keva. Right, whereas the Chacham hold the Ola Roy will be Mavato, the Ola Roy. So how is it that you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir even a Diras Aroy? It's just not true. So this is the Kasha. Nikolhani Mashma debeina Dafka Diras Aroy. Al Korchat Nirish Tzarech Lios Pirish the Machshir Dafka Bediras Keva. So he wants to change the gears in the Rosh. Lav Davka changed the gear, so I think he just means that you have to reinterpret what the Rosh is saying. Not that he's machshir af diras keva, he's mashma dafka diras keva, that it has to be a diras keva. Right? I don't know, you could just read the word af as saying that you might think that diras keva is no good, and here comes Rabbi Yehuda to say that it's taka good. That's all. Lav Davka that he meant af in the classic sense that it includes diras aroi, because that's impossible. We counted 8 nafkaminas in one daf, one omit of Gemara. Then we had another nafkamina with regard to. So what did we have? We had you know, if it's too tall, that was two mandarim that said if it was too tall, either because of the sail coming from the schach, from the walls, not the schach, or because it's a permanent structure, right? We had another mandarim that says it can't be a circle, because that's diras haroi, so diras haroi is no good. Then we said it can't be less than dalet amos or dalet amos, because that's diras haroi and that's no good. Then we had another mandarim who said that, what was it? What was another sheet? I forgot already. It's been 5 minutes. What? Right, it has to be that the shulchan is betocha sukkah, or it's ma'asik rosh rubel shulchan, depending on how we understand sheets b'shamai. And we had at least one more. Right, it's not you're not yotzei if it's kiminserf. So we have all of these different views which say that these nafkaminas which say that if it's diras haroi, it's puzzle. Right, and then we had another nafkamina by yoshin tachsamita, as well as the other types of ola ma'asik, the fancy beds, right, the things on top of the beds. And we had another nafkamina whether or not you need to put a mezuzah on the sukkah, but that's not really going to passel one and not be machshir the other. So how is it that the rush comes off saying that? How is it that the rush comes off saying that it's af diras haroi? So for starters, it's just an interesting lumdus that Rav Beryl Pivarsky has in Sefer Bad Kodesh. He has on Masechta Sukkah. He just mentions that there's a basic chakira. I'm not sure what this chakira really does for us, but it helps us understand the ikar din of sukkah in terms of what we're talking about here in this machlokas between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. He says, basically, what are you supposed to be accomplishing when you go into the sukkah? What is the sukkah? What is the Torah telling me to do? Is the Torah telling me that I really can stay in my house? Really, I could stay where I am, but I need a roof transplant. I need that my normal roof should be changed to schach. Right? Is that what we're talking about? And that schach is somehow going to be a zecher, either l'anani akavod or l'sukkas mamish, right? And that schach is going to help me focus on the tzivui Hashem to recreate a situation similar to that in the midbar. But me'ikar adin, I can remain in my current home. Or I can move to a new permanent structure, which is also my home. But me'ikar adin, the Torah is not telling me, tsei midiras keva v'shev bidiras saroi. Stay where you are. Just do something, do some small pa'ula that's going to demonstrate that you remember the fact that Hashem put us up in sukkahs. That's one possibility. And the second possibility is no. The whole yisod is tsei midiras keva v'shev bidiras saroi. We're being told, leave where you are. That's the ikar yisod of the mitzvah of going into the sukkah, is that you're supposed to pick yourself up and go somewhere. Don't stay where you are. Rather, you have to go and sit in a... You're supposed to go and sit in a sukkah. You're not supposed to stay in your home, just have a roof transplant. That's not the ikar. Right? So lemaisa, let's say you have, some people in Muncie, I think, have this. My uncle in Eretz Yisrael has this. That let's say you have your home, you have a Florida room or some type of a room in your house. Some people have it with power roofs, some people have it with just a folding roof, that you can literally remove the roof off of a room in your house and you can replace it with schach. You ever been to such a place? You've seen it, I'm saying, in people's houses? So I'm saying, it's gishmak. Like, who wouldn't want such a thing? You know, if you had an extra room where, you know, you didn't mind having leaks from time to time, you know, I don't know the metzias. Maybe it doesn't leak, but it seems like it would. Anyway, if you have a room that you don't mind sacrificing that room to have a movable roof, so it seems like that would only be kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you're moving the roof off of your home. You're not literally being tsei midiras keva and shei midiras sarai. Yet halacha lemaisa, we know we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, as the Rush pointed out. But on the other hand, we do allow people to do this. So how does that shtim? How are we doing that? So the simple teretz is that really every sukkah, almost every sukkah you'll ever see, is both diras keva and diras haroi, depending on who you are. If you're Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to walk over to your sukkah. I don't know. I have a sukkah with panels, and you put the schach on top. He's going to walk over to your sukkah and say, oh, this is a beautiful sukkah. What a nice diras keva. Right? This is a very nice Diritz Keva. You should put up a mezuzah, you shagets, but like you have a very nice Diritz Keva over here. It's a beautiful permanent structure with a schach roof. Excellent. Has all the right dimensions, has, you know, everything we want out of a good Diritz Keva. Whereas the Chacham would come to the same sukkah and they'd look and they'd say, beautiful, a wonderful sukkah. It's a perfect prime example of a Diritz Aroi. Right? Yashar Koach not having a mezuzah. Right, and they would tell you Yidavka, it's an excellent Diritz Aroi. This is what we have to keep in mind, that 95%+ of sukkahs are, according to Rabbi Huda, going to constitute a Diritz Keva, and according to the Chachamim, are going to constitute a Diritz Aroi. So Einachinami, the Iker Yisod of the mitzvah, according to Rabbi Huda, is that you're supposed to stay in your home, whereas according to the Chacham, your dafka is supposed to leave your home, but you can accomplish both by doing either one. You can build a beautiful sukkah outside your home, and you're still accomplishing it according to Rabbi Huda, because you're moving from one permanent structure to another permanent structure. Or you can even take the roof off your home, because since the schach is aroi, you're accomplishing the concept of moving from a permanent structure to a temporary structure. And thus the Chacham would agree that that constitutes Diritz Aroi as well. So based on this, we could explain the Rosh very nicely. That according to, what is the Rosh trying to say? That Rabbi Yehuda's machshir af diras keva. It doesn't mean that he doesn't think that there are nafkaminas between diras keva and diras aroi in the eyes of Rabbi Yehuda. Of course Rabbi Yehuda is maskim that a diras keva requires dalet amos by dalet amos. And it also can't be a circle necessarily, and it also can't be kaminsrif, and all of these different shittas in the Tanaim. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda is maskim to all of that, but at the end of the day, he understands that that's 95% of sukkahs. It's a small percentage of sukkahs. How many people are going to have a sukkah that's less than dalet amos by dalet amos? That's tiny. So if you walk down the block in any Jewish neighborhood, you're not going to see any sukkahs that are less than dalet amos by dalet amos, most likely. Even though they're kosher, if you hold Diritz Aroi. So what the Rosh is just trying to say, b'mitzius, Rabbi Hud is going to be machshir more sukkahs than the Chachamim are machshir. In halacha, it's true. Rabbi Hud and the Chachamim are both going to passel pretty much the same amount of sukkahs, i.e. less than 5%. If it's Rabbi Huda, it's because the sukkahs aren't kavua enough, and if it's going to be the Chachamim, it's going to be because they're too kavua. But how many sukkahs in the world are going to be more than 20 amos high? What else are the Chachamim going to passel? The rest of it is just dinim in the yeshiva besukkah, like a yoshin tach samita. But at the end of the day, the Rosh's lashon is much more mashma like the mitzias than it is like the halacha. And that's perhaps the pshat that the Korban Nisanal didn't like, because he's saying that, listen, halacha lamaisa, that is a wrong statement. Rabbi Hu does not machshir af diras keva. He's only machshir diras keva. Einachinami, 95% of the time, he'll say that that is a diras keva and not just a diras aroi or not a diras aroi. But the Rosh was talking about the Metzias, where he's saying that Rabbi Hu is going to be machshir more sukkahs than the Chachamim in reality, because how many people have circle sukkahs, and how many people have sukkahs that are less than dalet amos, and how many people have sukkahs that don't have a roof? Right? Virtually none. So therefore, at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda will be machshir all of the sukkahs that the Chachamim are machshir, save the aforementioned nafkaminas. And it'll also be machshir a sukkah that's lamala mechav, because you have to remember the context of the Rosh. The Rosh is speaking in the opening sugya of the Masechta, where it's saying that the sukkah can be lamala mechav amah. So of course, if it's lamata mechav amah, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be machshir that. It's just also good if it's lamala mechav amah. So at the end of the day, what comes out of this is that the Rosh's Lashon is not wrong. It's just not meduyuk in the halacha. The Korban Nisanal doesn't like that at all, and he wants the Rosh's Lashon to be meduyuk in the halacha, whereas the Rosh is meduyuk in the sugya, and he's meduyuk in the mitzias of what a sukkah is all about. So that's basically the chilek in terms of how we view a sukkah, diras keva versus diras aroi. All right.